Hey, good morning, Revelstoke Alliance Church. Nice that you could join with us this Sunday. I want to take you on a journey over the next 3 weeks. It's a journey that I've been on for the past 10 years or so, a journey of discovery, of examination, of rethinking. I want to dial it back even further than 10 years. About 20 years ago or so, the Alliance as a denomination voted to extend ordination to women ministers as well as to men. Ordination is the Alliance internal process where over a couple of year period, pastors learn theology and are trained in ministry and then are examined on both theology and ministry gifts. Once you successfully go through this training process and pass the exam, you're granted the status reverend and are then licensed to preach, lead the ordinances of baptism and communion, and perform weddings and funerals within the Alliance churches. So 20 years ago, before my time as part of the Alliance, ordination was extended to women. However, at that time, women pastors were still not permitted to minister in the offices of senior pastor or elder due to certain understandings of scripture, mostly found in Paul's epistles. Then about 10 years ago, the Alliance in Canada took a vote at the National Assembly over the question of women as senior pastors and elders. It was quite a split kind of situation in the room. However, the vote was carried that each individual congregation's members could take a vote to decide for themselves whether they feel scripturally that elders, and by extension the senior pastor, could be either gender or if it was biblically restricted to males only. So the denomination in Canada passed it that every individual congregation could make that decision for themselves. I was part of that vote 10 years ago. I voted no to women being permitted to minister as elders and senior pastors based on my conviction at the time that it was against what the Bible said. Then about 8 years ago, again before my time here at Revelstoke Alliance Church, our congregation, our church, took a vote on this issue. They studied all the scriptures, they engaged in prayer, they wrestled with the issues, and then quite clearly voted no to the question of women as elders or senior pastor. Now, since then, a little bit more than half of the 80 Alliance churches in British Columbia have voted yes to this proposal. And again, much has changed in the past 10 years since I voted no. My own understanding of scripture has grown and has been challenged. Culture has most certainly changed. The question of gender roles, feminism, the patriarchy, transgenderism has, I'm sure, required all pastors who are called to shepherd a congregation to go back into their Bibles and re-examine their beliefs. Now, before we sort of go into the sermons, I want to make a couple of things crystal clear, very clear. First thing is, we are a Bible-centered, Bible-believing church. We preach the word week in and week out, in season and out of season. And the reason why we do that is we find it in the Bible. We find it in Scripture. Paul wrote this to Timothy. This is in 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17, verse 14. But as for you, Timothy, continue in the things that you have learned and firmly believed, since you know from whom you have learned them. From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for instruction, for conviction, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Now, we fully acknowledge that. The scriptures are our guide, not culture. Scriptures, it says in those verses, are God-breathed. They're inspired. God has breathed into them. He's communicated to us through the Bible. Culture shifts. Culture shifts through time and from one country to another. It's not a solid basis to make decisions on. Our own preferences, our tastes, our opinions are also fickle, and they may even be sinful at times. And yet, we are called to reach out to this current generation, this current culture, and find ways to express God's word that answers the culture's deepest questions, fears, and aspirations. But we stick with Scripture to do that, because Scripture is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. Now, That being said, there are many things in Scripture that are not so clear. They're not crystal clear and not necessarily straightforward. And there's a couple of reasons why that is. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul wrote this, verses 9 to 12. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. For now we see in a mirror dimly, Paul wrote. We only know in part, or as the King James Version translated this text, we see through a glass darkly. Jesus hasn't come back yet. We're in this sinful world. Our understanding of spiritual realities is skewed, is dim, is foggy. Now, in addition to this, this is what Peter had to say about Paul's epistles, 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. So that's interesting. If scripture is God-breathed, we've got one portion of scripture, Peter, saying that the other portion of scripture, Paul, is hard to understand at times. So in addition to all of this layer upon layer of complexity, we have Paul writing again to Timothy. This is 2 Timothy, again, 2:15, where it says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. So we have verses that tell us that scripture is God-breathed. The scripture teaches us about God and how to worship him, and that's the reason why we need to understand it. And then we have the task then to study hard so that we can correctly explain it. That's all of our tasks. However, we have the additional challenge that we only know in part and through a glass darkly, and indeed that Paul's writings contain some things that are hard to understand. In addition to those spiritual challenges, we have the fact that the Bible is written in two ancient languages, written thousands of years ago, in entirely different cultures and entirely different countries. So we have a spiritual layer to work through, a language layer to work through, historical, cultural layer to work through in order to discern the meaning and application of the texts in Scripture. Now, in Christianity, we have primary beliefs that all Christians agree on from the Bible. And if you don't agree with those things, you can't call yourself a Christian. So all Christians would agree with the following, that they would say is clearly evident from Scripture, that God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that humans were made in God's image, that humans sinned and have the ongoing consequences of sin in unbelief and rebellion, that Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection is the saving act by God for humanity to defeat sin, and that we receive Jesus' sacrifice for our sins by faith. Those are the primary issues that everyone who is a Christian, regardless of their denomination, believes. Now, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Muslims, the Buddhists, disagree with one or more of those points and are thus not Christian. But after those primary things that all Christians believe in, we have a whole bunch of extremely important but secondary issues. Issues that different Christian churches have taken different stands on based on their understanding of Scripture. We've got issues like predestination versus free will, different modes and methods of baptism, different ways to understand what happens when we receive and take communion, the role of speaking in tongues in the modern church, the way that the church is governed, whether that's by pastor or bishop or elder or congregation. And also we have disagreements upon the role and nature of gender within the home and within the church. Now, sincere Christians have wrestled through God's word and have come to different conclusions about baptism or about gender roles. It doesn't make someone less Christian if they disagree with you on these secondary issues. So yes, shifts and circumstances in culture has led me back into the Word to re-examine my understanding on this very, very important subject. And yet still, it is a secondary issue about gender roles in the church. So while absolutely acknowledging that Scripture is the one and only measure by which we should seek to know God's ways, I also acknowledge that Scripture can be difficult to discern at times. And that difficulty is often the reason for Christians to disagree on these secondary issues. We should be looking to answer the questions that culture has from the Word of God, that through studying the Scriptures more thoroughly, I would say I personally have shifted in my opinion and understanding of gender roles within the church. 10 years ago, I voted no to women as elders and pastors based on my understanding of Scripture. Now, based on my understanding of Scripture in 2021, I would absolutely vote yes. So over the next 3 Sundays, I want to unfold my own journey in the Scriptures for you. Now, just because I think women should be elders in our church, it doesn't mean that it will be so here at Revelstoke Alliance Church. I just have one vote as one member at the AGM. One member, one vote. If we decide that we all together as a congregation discern from the Scriptures that women should be elders, then we all together can have that vote and make that change. Now, while I don't have the authority to make that change myself for the church, I am tasked with not only making sure that what gets preached from the pulpit on a Sunday is in accordance with Scripture, I'm also tasked with deciding who gets to preach on a Sunday. All is part of God's requirement for me as a pastor to shepherd and feed the flock. So given my conviction, you have already had, as a church, quite a few different women come and preach to you over the years. We've had Erin and Kerry Lynn, Andrea, Kelsey, Grace, Jordan, Lisa, Jamie, Gina, Sarah's going to be preaching next month. And so we've had lots of different women preach to us. We've had many different women lead us in worship and in prayer on Sunday morning. And so as far as I am allowed under the current policies of our church and given my own convictions, I've given as much freedom for different ministries as possible to as many people as possible, regardless of gender. Now, this is not even the first sermon. What I'm giving you here is not even the first sermon in this series. This is just setting up the parameters for the next few sermons. This is the preamble to the sermon series. We're going to take a look at what the Old Testament says about the differences in the roles of people in regards to gender. We're going to examine how Jesus interacted with men and women and how those interactions speak to gender roles in the church. We're going to look at the rest of the New Testament, the books of Acts and Romans and 1 Corinthians, Galatians, to see what they say. And then lastly, we're going to take a deep dive into perhaps the verse that on the face of it seems to restrict certain roles within the church based on gender. And that verse is 1 Timothy 2:12, which reads, "I do not permit a woman to teach or assume authority over a man. She must be quiet." That is a controversial verse. It was probably controversial back then. It's very controversial now. But we're going to look at what this means. Why did Paul write it? How should it apply in church today? And if Scripture says that, why on earth am I allowing something that at first glance Scripture forbids? These are all good questions. And by the end of the next 3 weeks, I hope to have answered them from the Bible. You may agree with me, you may disagree with me. Again, a secondary issue that doesn't affect someone's salvation, but it most certainly affects how we as a gathered church respond to God and how we communicate the gospel to our town. So this is just the preamble. I'm going to press pause here, and then we're going to start with the first sermon in this series, What Does the Old Testament Say About Gender Roles? So if you disagree with me, let me know. If you agree with me, let me know. All right, Revelstoke Alliance Church, get ready for the next sermon.